Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Creator Spotlight, the interview portion of the Spotlight here on Fightful. I am Steven Jensen, as always, with Jeremy Lambert, and we have two guests today, as you can see. One is a returning guest. He is the best boxer in the universes, and he is also the man with the fastest knockout in YouTube boxing history. He is Nathan Barnett, and or dad bod, however you want to say it. The man himself, Dad, is back, and he's brought a friend who y'all might know from the world of professional wrestling. Fightful being pretty well known in the wrestling space. It's very cool to have this guy here. We have a man who I've known since Tough Enough 3, a big fan from back in the day, a dude who I followed a long time, a lot of titles, a lot of last names, and he's going to be performing, or competing, I should say, with Dad in separate fights for Creator Clash 2. We have John Hennigan, today known as Johnny Spotlight. Welcome to the show, guys. Thank you very much for joining us.
Great to be here. First off, me and Dad have one thing in common when it comes to boxing. We're both undefeated.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Man, so Johnny, I want to ask.
We were both pro wrestlers before we were YouTube boxers.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, we both cut our teeth in the wrestling business, and now mm-hmm. we've evolved.
Yes. Great. So I'm really looking forward to this because, John, I'm sure you've answered a lot of the same questions throughout your career, and I want to talk more about Creator Clash right now because that's coming up.
Oh, let's do Creator Clash.
Yeah, yeah. And
you're going to be for the other answers.
Yes, exactly. You're going to be fighting Harley from Epic Meal Time, a guy who I'm a longtime fan of as well. I like both of you guys a lot. I know him from the OG YouTube days. I still listen to him on the PK podcast when he appears. He's a big dude, but I'm just going to keep it real. You're the most athletic dude that we've seen in this YouTube boxing space by far, in my opinion. How did this even come together? Because he's a big guy. I'm sure it's hard to find him opponents. So how did this all happen? And I know you have the relationship with Dad. I saw you at Creator Clash 1. So how did this come together for you?
I think everything you just said is kind of exactly how it happened. Okay. It is hard to find an opponent for Harley. And I met iDubbbz and everybody at Creator Clash 1 when I was in Dad's corner. And it was so like electric, and I was so pumped up that I think that everyone could tell that I was really excited about boxing in the event. And I got a call from Ian and Anissa basically a little while ago, and they asked me if I would consider fighting. I said, yeah. And then they said, would you consider like fighting Harley? And I said, actually, like, I only know like two people closely. I know him and I know Nathan. So I'd rather fight someone that's not my friend. Then he took the fight. So they texted me back and said, Harley said he would fight you. And then I was like, well, I guess I'll fight him. And then I thought about it and realized, you know, in the world of pro wrestling, I don't hit anyone harder than I hit my friends, really. You know, like I've knocked Sheamus's teeth out before and we laughed about it the next day. And when I started thinking of it along those lines, okay, like we're just going to punch each other until one of us can't stand up anymore. And I hope he's still my friend after that.
So Harley from Epic Meal Time, and Epic Meal Time was huge, huge when I was in like college, and all the stuff they would do that are now like actual like food, like restaurants just make this food. And it was before it became, or it became a big kind of through Epic Meal Time. So I got to ask, with when it comes to like your type of food, and you're in great shape, do you have like a cheat meal? Like, have you seen some of the stuff that he's eaten and you're like, oh, how do you put this in your body? Like, what are you expecting from him showing up with all the stuff?
Tell me if you guys agree with this. Like, so he's been eating what, like 25, 30,000 calorie meals for like 15, 20 years. Now he wants to fight me. I think he's got a death wish. He's trying to kill himself, basically.
So that's what I was getting at. Is like, how do you think he's going to show up after all this food he's eaten throughout his lifetime? And now he's going to get in there with a top-tier professional athlete in the world of professional wrestling and he's gonna try to punch you in the face, and you're gonna punch him back.
Back on you guys. Do you think because of all that food, his gut will be stronger or weaker?
Oh, I think if you give him like one shot, he's gonna feel that hamburger he had in like 2012. The hamburger with, I'm sure it had like bourbon and who knows what else was in it.
Bacon, yeah, bacon on everything.
Definitely
bacon on everything. Absolutely. Hey, now I will give Harley credit. He did compete at the first Creator Clash. He did very well against Aaron from Game Grumps. He has gotten a lot better shape, so I will give him credit there. Yeah, I've absolutely. I've
seen him on Instagram. He is taking this very seriously. He looks like he's not only just lost weight, but changed his body composition, which takes a lot of hard work. Like, he's got some abs that are peeking through, which is great for him. You know, like, he's got such a great story. I wish he had a different opponent, because his story is just not going to have a happy ending.
Technically, he has less padding now, too, because, like, when you are overweight, it is physically padding. And now if he's, like, thinner, it's just you can get right to his kidney faster.
Yeah, and think about it. In his prime, like, if he fell into a river, he would have had his own flotation device, kind of just that layer. And it's like he had his own protective boxing gear, like Nathan said, and now there's just ribs there. Ah, poor guy.
Where have you been training for this, Johnny? Or have you and Dad been training together? Are y'all close to each other IRL as well?
Yeah, so, yeah. We train together whenever Dad's in town. He's kind of been...
I live in Town, USA, which is an undisclosed location, possibly underground. But I do go to El Angeles as often as possible. And John and I have trained with his coach, Josh Barnett, and a few times at LAKO, a boxing gym in LA. But my coach is up in Portland, Oregon, and I do my extensive camps with him. But John.
I've been excited to get up there at some point during fight camp. Because Nathan's coach, who's also named Josh.
Every coach in the world, every boxing coach is Josh and Mike. Like,
Josh and Mike I've ever met. Are all the boxing coaches' names.
Yeah. Josh, my coach is Conquest Boxing. He's you can see what he did to me in the ring. I was a legit maniac, and he made me that way. Fantastic. I'll never not train with him. He's the best. So John's going to come up at some point, and we're going to do some grueling, intense training coming up.
And then Johnny, how's the training with Josh Barnett been going?
When I asked Josh to train me, he said this. He's like, "So you're going to enter the world of shoot fighting, huh? You know, boxing is definitely your worst thing." And I was like, "Well, yeah, I know. I've never boxed. I'm not a boxer. I've done almost every other martial art. I've just never boxed." And then I've spent 20 years doing pro wrestling, which is not exactly boxing or MMA or Muay Thai or any of that. It's just a simulation of violence, which I've come to enjoy quite a bit.
But then, of course, you mix in the parkour. I've even seen you. I saw you wrestle like a Jack Russell Terrier in a movie once. I mean, I've seen you do a whole lot of stuff.
I beat that dog, by the way.
You did. Yeah.
I was going to ask how long you've been boxing, because we've seen you in Bloodsport. We've seen Johnny Bloodsport. Like, have you been boxing specifically just for this match? I assume the training is ramped up, but like, how long have you kind of been just boxing training in general?
Oh my God. Like 5-6 weeks.
Well, John, last year for Critic Clash, I went over to John's house and he had mitts, and I hit mitts with him when I was training for my fight. So John has dabbled a little bit, but I don't know how seriously you've done
it. The reason I have mitts and like the reason I like know how to punch is basically it's one of the things that is super essential, obviously, for wrestling, but stunt work. And I've done a lot of stunt work and stunt choreo, and to master stunt work, basically there's boxing footwork, there's Muay Thai footwork, there's sport karate footwork, martial arts tricking footwork, and there's specific stunt footwork. And depending on the style of fighting you're doing, the footwork combination, you just need to like know how to punch and move. So I've studied that. I've never studied boxing for the purpose of knocking someone out. I've just tried to make it look like I knew what I was doing. So this has actually been really fun, because I started wrestling in high school, college. I was going to be an Olympic wrestler, so I thought, until I wrestled 1 year D1 at UC Davis and realized I was not nearly as good as I was in high school.
And I wrestled in high school. I didn't know you wrestled in high school.
Yeah.
I had a very successful, in my opinion, wrestling career. It was 2 years, and then there was a tournament where I wrestled the football team, who absolutely hated me because I was the freak of school. Major harassment in my high school career. And then I wrestled one of the football players that all hated me. And this is a little bit of a rant here, but I had long Kurt Cobain hair at the time. I put it in pigtails, and I had rainbow socks. I pulled up to my knees. This is mid-90s. Oh, no. And I wanted to look like the person they disliked the most while I destroyed this football player. And I killed this kid. Like, I got 3 points on him, and then I pinned him, and I, like, wiped the floor with this guy. And I think they're all just super ticked and shocked. So I started from amateur wrestling as well.
You're a pro wrestler at heart. That's so pro wrestling.
Oh, 100%.
I love wrestling. Wrestling, that's, I would like to honestly parlay this into some more wrestling shows, like the boxing thing, because the character and like the trash talk and then the physicality and stunt work. Like I've done stunts my whole life in gymnastics and stuff. So I feel like this is just the attention that will then get me to where I really want to be and talking trash in a ring, being someone's manager or something.
Yeah.
Well, I want to know when we're going to see Dad and Johnny Elite back on my television, because that was the best part of Dark.
Let's DM Tony.
Oh yeah, AEW. That's right.
Yeah.
Because we had a good thing going there, but you know, I think now that we've like put it in the pot and it's been simmering this whole time, we're going to have a wonderful souffle of wrestling. Is that word?
Yes. Oh, yes. John, I want to ask you. Sorry. Go ahead.
We're gonna feed it to Harley with our fists.
I would say the name bit is the best thing in wrestling. The fact that you just, and you're Johnny YouTube Boxer for this. You're Johnny Spotlight here today. But the name thing is tremendous. And the wife was very adamant. Like, tell him it's the best thing going in wrestling today. So I'm now telling you that she absolutely loves it.
For a second, I thought you meant my wife and realized, no, she
does she not like it? Does she, like, no, why do you keep changing your name? You're going to ruin SEO searches.
But she would never – she worries about me getting too many compliments because my ego is, you know, there's only a room in the house for two people and my ego is the whole living room. It's any bigger.
John, I want to ask you, because I know we got limited time. How has the cardio aspect been for you? Because I know obviously you're a guy who's in really, really good shape, but like boxing is different. But I was just thinking off the top of my head, just on paper, like Harley, I think, is going to have a hard time if it gets to deep water. I think it's something where he's going to have to, if he has any success, it's going to be early against you. But how has the cardio been in boxing versus everything else that you do?
Cardio is my favorite thing to do. I hate cardio. Cardio sucks. The sweet science, so it's called, is really fun. Cardio is an essential tool in order to be able to use your mind while you're fighting. This is a different kind of cardio than I've had to use for professional wrestling. It reminds me of collegiate wrestling. And it sucks. But it's definitely one of those things where, I mean, me and Nathan are in the same boat. Both of us are hurting our knees and wrists and elbows a little bit every day. And then doing something cardio that we don't love every day, just so that we can teach Harley and AB the chicken dance.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you guys know what that means, but.
I mean, I know the actual chicken dance of da 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 da, like that whole thing, but.
Picture Bambi on ice. That's when you lose your legs in a boxing match.
Yes, yeah, that's what I thought you were getting at.
When guys get knocked out on their feet and they're trying to stay up and they're just.
Yes.
Yeah. There,
the stanky leg have him doing the stanky leg out there.
Yeah.
John, we know you got to run. So go ahead. Let everyone know where they can find you at. Anything you want to plug, promote, get out there.
Or anything you want to say to Harley directly right here, because there's a good chance Harley will see this.
Oh, really? Harley? God, man. All right. Harley, first of all, you got a death wish, like I said. You've been eating 20,000 calorie meals for 15 years. Now you're going to fight the Mayor of Slamtown, Johnny YouTube Boxer. I'm going to put you to sleep. You're going to wake up dead if you're lucky. You can follow me on Twitter at The Real Morrison, on Instagram at John Hennigan, my shoot name, or on Facebook, follow John Morrison. And one more thing to show Harley, these custom gloves.
This will be the coolest thing in his room since we didn't get a chance to ask that.
Because these are specifically made for Harley.
Oh, man.
He loves bacon. So I was thinking it might take some of the sting out of him getting knocked out if it's by cheeseburgers, his favorite.
He'll eat those all day too. Like that's perfect. That's perfect. He's gonna sit there. He's gonna think it's an actual sandwich. He's gonna be like, oh,
he's gonna eat them until he falls asleep.
Yeah, exactly. That's tremendous. Johnny Spotlight, John Hennigan, John Morrison, Johnny Elite, Johnny Bloodsport, Johnny YouTube Boxer, however you know him, you know him. We appreciate you joining us on the show today, man.
Thanks for having me, Nathan. Thanks for setting this up. Yes. Hit me up. I'd love to talk more crap about Harley anytime in the future.
Dude, I would love to have you. I love the YouTube boxing scene, so I will take you up on that. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. We can talk crap about way more people with more time.
Oh, yes. I love it. Thank you.
KSI and Deji, we're coming for the two of us.
Ooh,
are coming.
Yeah.
Oh, let's go.
Versus us two on the same card at Misfits.
Well, no, you don't have to do the same card now. Now Misfits is doing tag team fights. They're doing tag team boxing.
That's some breaking news here.
Yeah,
maybe the brothers tag team against me and John.
We would destroy them.
Let's go. Oh, man. I'm so excited right now.
Oh, my God. Yeah, let them know. Holy crap.
Hey, ma'am, are you listening? We're coming for your boys.
Yeah, son.
Yeah.
All right. Josh Burnett is waiting for me, and he's going to kill me if I'm late.
Thank you, Johnny. We appreciate it.
Dad. Welcome back to the show, man. Sorry, we had to make sure y'all had the Morrison questions out before while we had it.
Oh, all good, all good.
Dude, thank you so much for setting that up. And
I figured because like we're together like all the time, and I was like, well, I'll probably be with John, and we were going to be together today, but then I had to film a couple things, so where our day got split. But yeah, I was like, well, John and I are always training together, so I figured we just do it together since he is the legit wrestler, you know?
Yes,
more appropriate for this site.
We
ask no wrestling questions. We're just gonna ask all the wrestling questions now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, for those who don't know, Dad will also be competing Creator Clash 2, as we mentioned earlier. He'll be fighting AB, who y'all know from the H3H3 podcast, along with Ethan Klein over there. He's also known as Starkilla online.
Mm-hmm.
I love this fight for you. I'm really looking forward to it. We may try to get AB on to talk a little bit as well, because I saw him tweeting something about looking for some interviews.
I'm sure he'll be down.
So I'd like to get all perspectives on this if possible. But how are you feeling heading into this fight? Because I mean, I think everyone's really excited to see your return, but I think that comes along with some pressure as well, because you're known as the guy, the 22-second knockout guy.
Yeah.
And not only that, man, I'm sure you've talked about this enough.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
But for people who don't know, you went mega viral again recently because Joe Rogan talked about your fight on the podcast and showed
it.
So can you just talk about your feelings going into this fight, and then also just kind of, I mean, I'm sure you were getting blown up when the Rogan stuff happened.
Oh yeah, that was pretty wild. I mean, that was a thing that I was kind of dealing with for since the fight. A lot of people have been taking my fight and loading it to Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and they're changing the title. They're putting like text on the screen that says "Father beats up son, Dad beats up son," and they're all these people who are loading these are getting multiple millions of views.
Right.
I get tagged by a lot of people saying, "This is Nathan Barnett. That's Matt Watson. They're not family. They're not related." And then people will come over to my Instagram and be like, "Why did you beat up your son?" And I'm like, "He's not my son," because they're seeing that the full truth, and then they just see me tagged and they're confused. So it's kind of annoying because some people out there do think I beat up my son. I don't even have a kid. So, and also Matt is like 13 years younger than me. So I would have been like a teenager or 15 years younger or something like that. So anyway, it's kind of annoying. But then Joe Rogan definitely saw one of those Instagram videos that was titled that and didn't bother like looking into it. So I wasn't surprised because everyone was seeing those. It was, at that point, it was just getting funny now. I was like, okay, this is ridiculous. Like, and he's believing it. So I ended up getting like a video out of it for YouTube. So whatever. It's just the more people talk about this dad boxer, the better, because maybe they'll stumble onto my YouTube channel. The biggest problem I have is like no one ever tags me when they make these posts and these videos. And if I got tagged in every time one of my videos was taken or put somewhere else, I'd be like, I'd have millions of followers. But like since I've been on YouTube since 2005, it's happened my whole career with my dance videos, my like viral, like falling off building clips, all my GIFs and stuff. And no one ever knows the guy in the video. So I'm always that guy. It's like, oh yeah, I've seen you dancing. I've seen you doing this weird Skittles thing. no one knows who I am because no one tags me. I don't care if people take my stuff. I just want them to tag me. So I was a little bit frustrated when that whole Joe Rogan thing happened, but then it kind of like made it funny in the end because people did start finding me and I got a video out of it. But to answer the question, I am feeling very confident. And it's very nice that a lot of people are hearing about me because I saw a lot of Reddit posts saying like I'm the most like talked about thing on Creator Clash because it was kind of like a big viral moment. And like the dad character is like more of a character than the other fighters. And I kind of like lean into it. So it's a little bit more interesting and in a weird way, you know, like everyone is interesting because everyone has their huge followings that they're all like, I feel like I have to hustle hard and do the character and train super hard to have a super fast knockout because I'm less popular than everybody else. Like they all work super hard, got their followings and are now they can kind of relax and do this boxing thing. But I'm in the mindset of like, I need this to save my career to like get relevant again. And that sort of like made me a little bit relevant. And I'm hoping to do the same thing again this year. So I am feeling confident because I am working incredibly hard. I believe based on what I know and what I've seen that I'm working harder than AB. I haven't stopped training since August. I took the summer off after the last fight, started back up and again in August. And I haven't stopped. And I've been really, really like training and practicing. And like, I just fight differently now. I think differently. I notice things. I was like a mess last time. So I'm hoping I win. I feel very confident, but at the same time, I have that, you know, the thought in my head of like, you never know, because you do never know what's going to happen. So,
I remember the last time you were on here, you mentioned that you had planned to fight again in October. So I know that didn't happen, but I'm assuming that's why you've been training and in shape for so long. You were expecting a fight. You've been ready to go for a while.
I was hoping to get a fight in the fall and it didn't happen because for a few reasons I moved. I'm back down in LA now. I was in Portland before. It was just like my life was a bit chaotic. But I will be hopefully fighting more. There's a better chance I'll be fighting twice this year because now Mams Taylor from Misfits, KSI's manager, he's followed me and messaged me and I met all those guys over there. I went to the last KSI fight with Belle Delphine, who will be in my corner this time.
I saw it.
I'm kind of in that world now. And he said he wants to get me on a card. So I'm hoping maybe John and I can both get on a card like this summer or this fall over there. But I haven't stopped training and I think it's been beneficial because I feel like a wrecking machine right now, honestly. So
how helpful has it been just training at the same time as John? You know, we had John last time, did the AEW stuff with him and you talked about your friendship with him. And now like you were preparing alongside him for a fight and you'd see it all the time in like MMA, UFC fights of like when two guys from the same camp are training and they're fighting on the same card, it's very much an iron sharpens iron type of thing. So like how beneficial has it been? Like he is also, and he's a top tier athlete, as I mentioned, like he's also training for an actual fight and he's not just like sparring and messing around with you.
Yeah. It's been great. I feel it's been beneficial for both of us because it's nice, especially when you know the person, like I've known him for so long. It's different. So all these other guys, like I've just met or I met them last year. So it's like, I feel friendly with them, but John and I feels like a real friend. Like we can talk like behind the scenes and like really say how we're thinking, what we're thinking and say what we think about our opponents and our training more candidly, I guess. And like, cause in a way you're trying to like, I don't know, it's just someone you don't really know. You don't talk as deeply with the other, you know, other people. So it's been good because we've been training with everybody, a lot of people, the LA people at least. We've been meeting up and doing sparring and exercising and stuff. But John and I have been, when we're working out and training and we're just talking and talking and talking, and I feel it helps a lot because it makes it, it's like you're getting I'm getting his training sessions with mine, and I'm getting mine and his, and he's getting mine and his, because like he's got advice from my coach. I've had advice from Josh Barnett. I trained with him and Josh Barnett. So it's like, I feel like I'm getting like a bit deeper dose of training. And I think it's good because last year was just me and my coach. I was only in Portland. And then I sparred every once in a while. I sparred with the iDubbbz at one point. But like this year, I feel like more knowledgeable because of my interactions with everyone else. And it really just helps put things in perspective. And especially when I see other people are doing, and I go, oh, no, they weren't as good as I thought they were going to be at this point. So it kind of boosts your confidence a little bit, but you know, also puts things in reality check too. It's like sometimes I'm sparring with someone else in this event and they give me like a good reality check. I'm like, oh dang, why was I not aware of, like, you know, I got hit pretty hard by Aaron from Game Grumps and it took me back a little bit, but he's also like a big guy.
Yeah.
And I was like, and like I power through everything. I kept going. I didn't stop throwing, but it took me back when I was in my middle of throwing punches. And it was kind of like a wake up call, I guess. But yeah, I just think it's beneficial to be with training with a lot of people in the same event because you're all going towards the same goal.
And I remember the last Creator Clash was pretty different than a lot of pretty much any other combat sports event I've really ever seen from the perspective of y'all hanging out throughout the day during the event, like taking pictures together, like social media posts. And then you guys went in there, fought each other legitimately. Yeah. But it was like a big, like, it felt like there was, I mean, it was all for charity too, which we can't forget to mention. I mean, that's a gigantic part of this as well, of course. But without, you know, I know stuff in the gym stays in the gym, but like, how did the sparring go with iDubbbz just like in general? Because he's really impressed me going from kid making these videos on YouTube, you know, for all those years of Content Cop and Kickstarter crap and all this stuff. And he was really the personification of like, just like an internet YouTuber doing this stuff out of his basement. And now he's like really made a transformation. He's more or less a Chad now, which is kind of crazy, right?
Yeah, so like, he's like grown up in a way. And it's like, it seems like a different person in a way. Also physically his transformation, like he was such a scrawny, nerdy looking guy. Exactly. And now he's like a thick dude.
Yeah. How did it go like when y'all got in the ring together? Because I feel like y'all could really help each other out with kind of with where you're both at.
Yeah, it was a little bit weird for me because last year, and it was at a point where like I had just switched to Southpaw and I was like listening to everything my coach said. And I started as Orthodox. Matt knew I was Orthodox. But then like a month and a half in, my coach wanted me to try Southpaw, standing Southpaw. And it just felt more comfortable. And he's like, don't tell anyone you switched. He's like, you're not lying by not telling them. And I was like, okay. He's like, this is how boxing is. Yeah. And he's just telling me, he's like, don't believe anything anyone says. Don't believe any video anyone posts. Cause like the boxing world is tricky. And that's like the thing, they put out false information and like there's a lot of just nonsense going out. So I was like, okay. I just felt like I had to do everything he said. So when I went up and trained with iDubbbz, I was standing sparring in an Orthodox stance. And I had since switched to Southpaw, so it was a little unnatural for me when I was sparring with him and everyone. So I had to feel like I didn't feel great about the whole situation, but it was cool. It was great for me because that was the first time I really got knocked around because the guys up there hit harder than I at that point was getting with my coach and my sparring partners, because like we were going like 25%, because he really eased me into it. He didn't want me just to start getting hit. It was like a lot of shadow, no touching, 25%. And then we went 50%. And then we never even went. He's like, one of the last sparring sessions was like 75%, only one time, because he's like, didn't want any extra injuries. But that time up in Seattle with iDubbbz, like I was getting knocked around, in my opinion, harder than I ever had at that point. And I was standing Orthodox. So it was kind of like, I feel I didn't learn too much that time because I was like not doing what I normally do. But it was nice to kind of like get hit around a little bit. I genuinely like getting hit. Like it sounds weird, but it like charges me up and makes me feel like, yeah, come on, like keep hitting me. Like makes me want to hit back, and it makes me like excited in a weird way. And I guess it's something I just never got and knew I wanted to get out of my system. But I truly like scrapping and getting like knocked around and hitting back. It's like it lights the fire in me, I guess.
You just feel alive. I get that.
Yeah, you really feel alive. And I'm like, you can't. I prove to them that they can't stop me, and I'll never back down, and I'll keep coming. Like, even if I'm just like my brain is dead, I'll still be on the ground, like throwing my fists. You know, just will not stop punching. So it's kind of. I learned that like throughout that whole last year, I learned a lot about myself, I guess, and how much I enjoy this.
You mentioned on Twitter that the diss track has been recorded. When is that? And can we get any type of a preview for it?
I could play.
You won't copyright claim much, right?
No, but the thing is, my friend owns the track, and it will get claimed unless he unclaims it.
Oh, right.
That's which right. He's going to do for me when I put it up. So it could get claimed. I'll give you a verbal preview, just give you a hint. I won't sing the lyrics or anything, but if you saw Keith Apicary on America's Got Talent, the nerdy gaming character who danced, that you can expect to hear something very similar in this diss track. You have to do some research, I guess.
I'm looking forward to it. Do you have a date where that's going to be dropping?
I'm trying to put it up in I had to film the video. I had to film part of it here in LA and part in Portland. So it'll probably be like mid-February, unfortunately. I want to put it up. It's recorded. It's being mixed right now. And once it's done being mixed, I'm also waiting on this cameo, like a guest vocalist. Fingers crossed that he's able to do it. And then it'll be done, and I'll shoot the video. It'll probably be up in like mid-February. I like to get it out as early as I can, so there's like it's up well before the fight, you know.
Sure.
But it's hard with all the training and all the other videos I'm shooting. So, well, but I have like 25 preloaded videos on my YouTube right now because I went hustled over Christmas because I was gonna be. I know in the next week I'm gonna be training for the next 11 weeks straight. Up until the fight, so I have everything like preloaded except for like some of these boxing videos. But yeah, it's been hard to get it all done while training every day.
Well, and also I know you've done a lot of traveling, like you mentioned. I know I've seen you popping up at other boxing events and stuff. Mm-hmm. What's been the since I guess pre-Creator Clash 1 to now when you show up at an event like that? And I mean, you're a very recognizable guy. You know, you're walking around half the time with no shirt on and a tie. It's like, oh, that's dad. You know what I mean? So like,
yeah. Yeah. The dad look is memorable. I guess, you know?
Yes. How's I guess kind of just the visibility, people, you know, recognizing you, and just kind of the feedback you're getting from, like, I guess the fan base, like nowadays versus kind of before you did the first Creator Clash.
It's been great. It's every like couple of years, I feel like I have something that's like, oh, you're that guy from these videos, or you're from this commercial, you're from this Disney show, or Always Sunny. I do like so many things that like every year or so I get like another spike in something.
Wait, were you? Later. What did you do in Always Sunny?
It was a small little part. It was like one line. It was the sexual harassment seminar episode where they're like, basically, it was like they're all getting like me too, yes. Basically,
yep.
They're all horrible. And it was like in a hotel. And I forget what I even said. It was literally nothing. The writer of Always Sunny knew me. I auditioned for it. And I did an episode of Community that she wrote as well. So I think when I auditioned, they're like, oh yeah, just have Nathan do it. But, you know, nothing great. It's a small little thing. But now probably people go, oh, my face is like, you know, that weird bald man. So easy to remember.
Don't downplay that at all. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia is my favorite show of all time. So like, I did not know that. I didn't catch it. I know exactly what episode you're talking about. That's the one where Mac picks up D from.
Yeah. I mean,
Okay.
Funny. They were like, they were just going off the rails like during the whole thing, like making stuff up, and it made the scene from what was on the script like 10 times funnier just by like messing around. They added like so much just by like improvising and figuring out what was funny, and then they kind of kept redoing things. So that was so funny. That was hilarious, that whole bit with him picking her up.
Man, I'm gonna watch that right after this. I'm gonna go back and find your scenes. I was already obviously a very big fan of dad, but now I know you're part of literally my favorite show of all time. So
that was a thing like a year or two ago, and then now dad is a thing. And I went to England a couple weeks ago to film my promo videos for this Creator Clash event with my friend who lives over there. And when I was at the airport in LAX, I sat down at like a bar restaurant, like, you know, I had 2 hours to kill. And this guy sat next to was like looking at me, and I was thinking, because it happens on the street, especially in LA, because a lot of people in LA just consume entertainment and media, and they just all get recognized as whatever character every once in a while. And I was like, oh, he probably saw like one of the characters or something. And then he said, hey, are you the dad boxer? And I was like, oh yeah. And he's like, dude, I just saw that on Instagram. And I was like, oh, did you see the thing that says dad beats up son? And he goes, yeah. he goes, but I've also seen your dance videos like my whole life. And I was like, oh, that's cool. So it wasn't just that he saw me from. So yeah, a lot of people have been seeing me as dad. And I told Anissa and iDubbbz, I was working out in Beaverton, Oregon, which is right next to outside of Portland. Right before I moved back down last summer, I was just exercising. 2 days in a row, two people came up to me and they said, hey, are you dad from Creator Clash? So dad from Creator Clash specifically is like the new thing I'm getting recognized as. So I told iDubbbz and Anissa, like, they've changed my life, and I hope to always be involved because it's keeping me relevant. And I appreciate them having me. So yeah, it's been amazing. Like, a lot of people are remembering dad from the event. So I'm hoping this year I can put on just as good of a show, if not better, so that it guarantees me another slot next year.
I mean, how do you top the fastest knockout though? Like, you break your own record?
Well, so I don't think Matt put up no fight, and anyone could have done what I did. I honestly think
No. Don't take any.
Don't sell that short.
Come on. I mean,
you still got to go out there and throw the punch. Like,
yes. True. And you got to stay on the gas too. Like, there's certain boxers that get in your kind of position and then let up. You just all gas.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, I train specifically to never let up. The whole I can go all five rounds, all 2 minutes each five rounds. And literally never stop punching. Like, I don't need the break. My cardio is through the roof. So hopefully I can put on just as good of a show against AB. But the thing is, AB can take a punch and he punches back. So I have a new game plan this year. But it will be I do feel I will obliterate him. Truly. I really just genuinely feel I will, based on how my sparring is going right now and how he did last year in his fight. But I do have a different game plan, and I think to outdo that 22 seconds, I don't think I can outdo it in time. Maybe I can get lucky. Maybe I get a good shot, you know, and knock him out quick. I would love to try that. I will hope for that. But I feel in my head how I outdo it is it's the most brutal match. And people are like, oh, dude, like, he messed him up. Like, that's how I think I could outdo it, where people are like, that is a savage.
That's going to have to rely on him to be able to take a lot of punishment, like a BJ Penn, Diego Sanchez type of thing, where you just beat him up for five rounds and then
it's
like a mess after that. So that seems more dependent on him to just be able to withstand all of these shots, not you.
Yeah, I think he can withstand a good amount, but I don't think I feel he won't last as long with me as he did with Hundar, because in my opinion, Hundar went easy on him, and there was so much time where, like, no one was doing anything. They're just walking around the ring, like, literally walking. I was like, why are you walking? Like, get on that person and get out, get in and out, get, like, move. They were just, like, walking around, like, throwing literally one punch, both of them. I was like, what is this? Like, nothing under three punches, always moving, always punching. I think he won't last as long against me, in my humble opinion.
I know you said you've been able to see some of the people training for the event, kind of in your circles and your gyms and stuff. And, you know, there's some people I'm really interested in seeing on the show. I think it's good that Myth is getting there. He's going to be fighting Hundar, who you just mentioned. Mm-hmm. Myth looked really good on the chess boxing event recently. He fought Churley, if I remember correctly, chess boxing. And that was the best fight of the show, in my opinion.
Yeah, and Churley's, I was very impressed by him. Because he, like, he got wiped out the last time I saw him box, and it was Misfits or something. And I was like, oh, wow, Trulies actually did pretty well. Like, he was actually, like, moving and slipping and, like, you know, timing his shots. But, yeah, Myth is – he's a good boxer. I think Hundar and Myth will be a great match for sure.
Yeah, and the one that I'm honestly looking the most forward to out of people that I haven't seen fight before is Froggy Fresh, Tyler Cassidy. He's been ripped forever. So it's like,
oh, yeah. Sorry. Oh, my God. His videos. I watched his videos way back. That was like when I was doing the Skittles videos, I think. He's so funny. I like the way he writes and the way his whole bit, because I also like bad wordings and like improperly. Like, that's like my whole Skittles thing, was like saying sentences backwards and inside out. And he does that, but you still understand what he's saying. He's so naturally funny, but he's also a super athletic dude. Like, he's already athletic. He's already working out. Yeah, I think he was already boxing. I think he's going to wipe the floor in his match.
Yeah, playing Chris Raygun. I think Froggy Fresh. I think he's going to be a real sleeper in, like, just the YouTube boxing scene. Like, if he sticks with it, I think he's going to have a lot of success, especially because, you know, he's 5'2". So, like, there's going to, like, height-wise and size-wise, I think he's just going to be way faster, stronger, more athletic.
After this, I know Michael Reaves doesn't want to fight again, but, like, after this, like, Michael Reaves versus Froggy Fresh, or the winner of it, would be amazing. Because they both are, like, sleepers in my, you know, like, that's what Michael Reaves was. No one expected Michael Reaves to be a war machine.
Well, did you watch his video of him attaching himself to all these, like, electronics and teaching his arm how to throw punches? But, I mean, that kid, for people who don't know, Michael Reaves, he's like this nerd who has learned coding but uses it in, like, the weirdest ways in YouTube videos. Like, he taught his fish how to trade stocks by just swimming around a bowl and stuff.
So funny.
And he was and he was one of the most impressive guys in Creator Clash 1, as you just mentioned. He looked really, really good. So, dude, that's perfect matchmaking, in my opinion. Froggy Fresh looks good, and Michael Reeves wants to get back in there. I think that'd be a great fight.
Yeah, that'd be amazing. I'm very excited for the girls' fights, too, because last year they proved to be that they stole the show. Like, the Minx and Haley match was unbelievable. So I think the girls are, they're working so hard. In the Discord, it's like there's so much hype around them because they're like so determined to like show everyone like what they can do. I think it's going to be head to toe. This whole event is like going to blow Creator Clash 1 out of the water, which is hard to do because it was, I feel, and I watch every boxing event, pro boxing, YouTube boxing, the energy in the crowd and the boxers were so into it. And it was such a fun attitude and energy to the whole thing. I think this is going to be amazing, and I think the girls' matches are going to be a big contributing factor to that.
And I heard that, I think I saw Anissa tweeting that the arena y'all got is twice the size as the last 20, one, and it'll sell out just like the first one did. So what an atmosphere.
It's great. It looks to me like, I can't quite tell, but it looked like there was already half of it like sold out. There's like an image you can see where it's all white, all the white ones are gone, and it was after one day. Like, the whole front is gone, and it's, like, bleeding into the middle now. So I can't imagine it won't sell out.
I have a question about another recent Twitter post.
Okay.
Were you actually a former gravedigger?
I was, yes. In Natick, Massachusetts, the Dell Park Cemetery, my boss was Joe Bartolini. And originally I worked at a store or a garden shop called Mulch and More in Holliston, Massachusetts, where I delivered mulch in the dump truck. And then I would go to the cemetery to cut grass because that guy managed the cemetery. So he's like, oh, go cut the grass for the cemetery so I don't have to do it. And then that sort of evolved into like one day he's like, oh, we got to dig a grave. And I was like, what? He's like, yeah, we got to dig the grave. I'm a caretaker here and I'm the grave digger. I was like, oh. And then it became, I do it all. And he just, I became the grave digger. So it was really weird and really strange, but for 2 years I was a grave digger, a little over 2 years. And that's how I saved all the money I earned at the cemetery, is how I moved out to Los Angeles in 2005. So I was a grave digger, and I know how to put a body in the ground, and I am prepared to do that April 15th at Creator Clash.
See, wow. That's a good backstory too. I mean, mm-hmm. the post was great. You're like, I was a former gravedigger, so I know what I'm doing here. One way or another, I'm putting you in the ground.
And people, I think people don't think I really am because I have the picture I posted. It's me like in the cemetery.
Yes, that's why I wanted to know.
It looks like a photo shoot, but the story is that's the actual cemetery I worked in. My brother Josh, who actually worked with me at the cemetery for a few months as well, he's a photographer, and I was. I do a podcast called Grave Stories, and the whole gimmick is former gravedigger reads grave stories, and we talk about like these spooky ghost stories and stuff. I took that picture in the cemetery that I actually worked at with my photographer brother Josh, who made it look like this like big fancy photo. I was a gravedigger, and where I'm standing is where I have dug actual graves. The people I'm standing on, I put there. So. Yes, I've had a real interesting past. I've had over 40 jobs. I worked on an Air Force base painting the lines in the runway for when the jets were taking off. I've had every job under the sun until I finally became like a performer actor full time in 2007, I think is when I had was my last job. So
wow.
Yeah,
kind of small world full circle a little bit with the Always Sunny tie-in. I recently watched an interview with Danny DeVito where he talked about how before he got into acting, or at least made it in acting, he was he did hair as a mortician,
I talked to him about this because
really
I had a meeting with him before years before I was on Always Sunny. He was developing a show where it was a Borat for kids. It was him and his son with the executive producers, and they were pitched me as the guy because like I do a lot of like on the street pranks and characters and physical comedy. And they're like, oh, this, I was presented as the talent to do that. And they're like, oh, this guy would be great. But he saw all my videos and he didn't know what I was like as a person because I was always in character. And he's like, what's this guy like? Is he crazy? So he wanted to have a meeting. So I met him at his lawyer's house in the Hollywood Hills. And we just talked about all kinds of stuff. I talked about Big Fish, which is one of my favorite movies. And he told me that story because I told him I was a gravedigger. So we talked all about the dead body we handled before we were actors. So yeah, I knew about that. He's interesting. He's a really interesting guy. I love him. He's like the funniest. Like, who knew he had to have this like second, well, not second win, because he's always doing something good. But it's such a different turnaround, like back into comedy when he got into Always Sunny. And it's like, hands down, I think the funniest performance in anything. I just love gross, sloppy, nasty, dumb men and women, anyone who's like, D actually, she was so good. I don't know if you ever watched her spin-off show, The Mick.
The Mick, yeah.
Yes. She was like the Danny DeVito of her own show. And she was so funny because she was just such a lousy, degenerate person. I loved it. That's like my favorite kind of character. So yeah, Danny DeVito and her. It was just an honor to be involved with any of them.
That's Dennis on that show. He's the worst to me. Glenn Howard.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Absolute worst on Always Sunny. Just no redeemable qualities.
No, exactly. That's what I like. That's what that show's so good. It's like Seinfeld is all about like, no lessons. That was Larry David's rules. Like, no one learns a lesson. No character, like, no hugging and no lessons was the things, I guess, he wouldn't allow on the show. And I think that's why it stood out from other sitcoms, because it wasn't like, oh, we're all hugging at the end, you know, hey, we learned our differences, and then it all wraps up. Nope, none of that. And then Always Sunny comes in, and it basically takes that model and throws it, you know, out the window and goes, it's even worse. It's like, no lessons, no morals, no hygiene, no, like, anything.
The characters progressively get worse over the years.
They're literally, like, the worst people in the world, and it's, like, fun to live through them because everyone has those little bits and moments of themselves in their own lives.
Man, do you have any other kind of, like, aspirations in acting or anything in the pipeline right now that you can talk about?
I'm trying. I made a short film called Neutral. I think it's the best thing I've ever made, the most impressive thing I've ever made. It's 22 minutes. It's on my YouTube channel. I want to finish that and make it a full feature film. That's like the beginning 22 minutes. I just need to shoot the other 60 and like we'll see the full feature film. That's like a big thing I want to do at some point. But it's like hard. I think about realistic. I'm like, when am I going to do that? I need to like stop everything and do that. And it's going to cost like $100,000. I have to do a major Kickstarter or something. And it's tough because like I also want a box. I also want to buy a house. And I'm trying to save for the past couple of years to like buy a house somewhere and maybe leave LA and get a place with like a yard and like a basement so I can have video games and like a little studio I can film things in. So I'm like, to give you too much information about my life, I'm trying to like figure out when do I do any of these things because it's just too much going on now. And I thought now I'm turning 42 next week. No, I'm turning 42 tomorrow. Oh, 2 days from now. February 2nd. Oh,
happy early birthday.
Thank you.
Oh, 2 days from now is actually so legitimately when this airs, it'll be your birthday. So
yeah.
Oh,
perfect.
Let's go. Happy birthday.
Thank you. Yeah. So I'm 42 now to everyone watching this. I would think I'd be slowing down by now and that kind of relaxing, but I'm doing more than I ever have. Like, I have big changes coming to the Dad YouTube channel. There's the boxing thing happening. I was thinking about maybe I was just with my friend in England. And I'm thinking about maybe I move to England for 6 months to just rent a house there before I like try to buy my own house somewhere because I really like England and it'd be nice, just kind of a life experience. So I know you didn't ask any of this, but this is just kind of what comes to my head when I think about what's coming up in the future. I don't know. Hopefully more stuff. There'll be definitely more videos. I have many videos coming and more boxing, but hopefully a film from me at some point.
Well, I know you said, you know, some big changes coming to the Dad channel. I know you've been on YouTube like as Nathan for like decades, really.
Yeah,
I
mean, since a long time. 2005 is when I started using YouTube, and then I used my friend's YouTube channel, and then I made my own channel in 2006, the second year of YouTube.
And then, but the Dad channel came later, right? And that's actually has that gotten the subscriber level of Nathan at this point?
Almost.
Or is it pretty close?
It's about to hit 400,000. And about a year and a half ago, Nathan was at 400,000. And Nathan has had a little bit of a spike from the boxing thing. So Nathan's staying a little bit above, but the gap's getting smaller and smaller. So Nathan's at like 470,000 and Dad's about 400. So I think after Creator Clash and maybe the end of this year, Dad will probably pass. I think Dad will hit 500,000 first. But yeah, I've been on YouTube for 18 years and I've never hit 500,000 subscribers. So I'm hoping that this year is the year one of my channels is 500,000. And blows through the roof because I have big things coming. And Dad, I have big aspirations for Dad where I'm trying to get into more live music performances, like actual DJ shows out at clubs and festivals, where basically the sort of idea and the pitch is imagine Marshmello's dad on stage and he's doing backflips and flopping around like a maniac, dancing really hard. And you're like, what is this dorky man? And why is this music actually good? And that's like that sort of second life I want to take with Dad outside after like the YouTube channel is more live performances. And I just did a music video with a quick little bit in Oliver Tree KSI music video. So I'm trying to like branch out and do more and more with like legitimate musicians. And I was in, I've been in so many Marshmello, Robin Schultz, Pharrell, Flowrider. I've been in like every music video under the sun. So I'm trying to take all this music stuff I've done in the past and push it into my own thing where now the guy from the music video is doing his own thing. And you can go see him DJ and lose his mind at some show. So I'm trying to set up some shows starting this summer. That's like the big new push for Dad. We can come watch him and party with him live. So, yeah.
Dad, I think last time we had you on, you were in a gas station parking lot. Is that correct?
Yeah. I was in a gas station parking lot. I remember this vividly. I was on the tour. I was on tour with the Game Grumps, basically doing kind of what I would like to do on my own tour. I opened up for the Game Grumps with just super hype energy where we played my music and I danced around on stage with the audience and had like dance competitions. And it was really cool because like my music videos were playing on like a huge screen. So people who are new to the Dad character who only knew me from boxing because they saw Aaron box and they're like, oh yeah, that Dad guy. I also did this other character, Keith, who was more in line with the Game Grumps bit is like, you know, Keith Abercrombie plays video games. So I think some of them were like, oh yeah, that guy. But if they didn't know the Dad character, it was a really great advertisement for me because it's like, oh, here's these five music videos we're watching as we're seeing him perform live, dance on stage, and we're dancing along with him. So that was amazing. I was doing that tour, and I was getting a massage, and I just got the massage, and I was sitting down in a gas station parking lot because I pulled like my left hamstring super bad jumping off the stage night after night. So, yeah, I was sitting down in a parking lot talking to you guys. And
We didn't get a chance to ask you then because of your location, but I'm gonna ask you now. What is the coolest thing you have in your room?
We ask everybody.
Oh, like video game wise?
No, just anything. Like anything just, that's in the room that you're in right now, or like the house that you're in. Like, I can show you.
There's some things I want to show you in this room.
I mean, you can get up and pick them up. Like, we don't.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think if I want to show it or not because it's like, well, it's not secret, but. I'm gonna make a little a statement before I show it to my the deep fans.
Now I'm scared.
Okay, awesome. I think we're getting an exclusive here.
Well, so there are fans of my audience in my audience that will have seen this before, but I'm gonna preface, I guess, is the word I want to use, that this has nothing to do with the Dad character, and this isn't a joke. This isn't in character. This isn't me. Wink, wink. This literally has nothing to do with the Dad character. Has to do with something else. I'm out of character a little bit right now. So, but this is the coolest thing that's in the room at the moment is this computer. And let's see. Oh gosh, darn it. It's an actual working computer. I can play Minecraft on it. I can do whatever I want on it. It's a glowing keyboard. In the house, I have arcade cabinets, which are, you know, probably maybe the coolest things I own, but let's see if you can hang on.
Wow, let me see it loading up.
It's turning on. The keyboard glows, you can kind of see the lights.
Yeah,
nice. At some point, I think I hit the button. Yeah, I didn't hear the sound though. It's hard to get your finger on the button from this angle, but this is a custom made computer that will be in some videos in the near future. Did I get it? I hit the button, but it's not making the noise. Anyway, it's what's going on? Turn on. There it is.
There we go.
Oh, wow. That's
so, yeah. I don't have the mouse with me right now. So it does literally everything a modern Macintosh would do. It's awesome.
That thing's dope.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
That's very
sweet. Did someone like who custom made that for you?
There's a guy named Mike Lombardo, Bardo. If you look up Bardo Industries on Instagram, he's got like pictures of the build. He made the Dad e-computer. Like a Dad in the Dad universe is tons of like weird looking tech that like works real, like it legitimately works. He took this old 80s Apple computer and like changed the insides, changed the guts, repainted it. He made this portable phone that it was an Oregon Trail handheld game that he changed and put a Raspberry Pi in, and it played Minecraft. It went on the internet. It checked emails. It played dad songs. And it was the phone that dad used in the series. He makes really cool tech. And I basically asked him to make this exact design of this shape of this computer. It's based on an old 70s computer. And he just 3D prints the whole thing, sands it, paints it, makes it. It's awesome. So yeah, Mike Lombardo, he's a genius. And I have a lot of other things in this room that I'd like to show you that haven't been seen on the internet yet, but this one has been seen on Twitter. So yeah.
Yeah, that's badass. That's really cool.
Rad. Yeah. Yeah, I love it. It's like, it's cool because like I can, it's so light. I can like hold it with one hand and I can like take it anywhere I want. Like it's weird. I like clunky portable stuff. I had, as the Keith character, I had an actual GameCube that I wear on my waist, the full GameCube, and it had a controller with a screen in it, like it was like a Wii U controller, custom made, and I'd walk around with a portable GameCube with the huge GameCube square on my hip. I like it because it's like, it's so odd looking. You're like, what, is that really portable? So I like big clunky tech that's like sort of portable, you know?
Were you like a Game Gear kid when you were younger?
I love Game Gear. I love Atari Lynx. I love Sega Nomad, like all the portable peripherals I'm super into. But I like, I want a Genesis that's the full Genesis.
Right.
Then put a screen in the Genesis and you use the console as the controller. Like I like the bigger and bulkier. I actually had a Nintendo 64 that I put the system on my chest with straps, like a laser tag pack or a chest plate. And then off of that was a controller. There's a picture of it somewhere on the internet. And the 64 controller had a screen in it. So I would wear the Nintendo 64, had a battery inside of it, and I could walk around wearing the system and play the game. You take the cartridge and you'd plug the cartridge into your chest. It was the coolest freaking thing.
Awesome.
And it was like, why do this? This is like stupid. And no, everyone wants small and compact, but I like big and bulky, but as long as you can still carry it and wear it, it's truly portable. I have a portable PlayStation 5 right now. And but like I get these portable batteries and I strap them to the bottom. I have a portable PlayStation 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, a portable GameCube. I built my own portable Nintendo 64, and I have a portable Dreamcast, which is actually a sort of, it was made in the 90s. It's called a Dreamcast with a T. And it was like a Chinese company that Sega sued and like shut down. But they were very rare, and I got one of them recently off eBay. So I just like portable technology. And I also will then take those systems that you normally plug into a wall, and I get a portable battery, and I'll like zip, Velcro it to the bottom of like the PlayStation so that I can then truly take a PlayStation 5 anywhere I want. But it's super heavy and bulky. And people think, why do you have this? And I think because it's funny, and it's like no one else has it. So now I do.
I love that.
If you show wrestling fans a portable Nintendo 64 and they realize you could walk around just playing No Mercy all day, these things would fly off of the shelf.
I did that on my birthday last year. So exactly a year ago, I built this portable Nintendo 64 on my birthday. It's a really weird clunky. I'll show you a picture if I can get it up fast enough. On my birthday in the Cheesecake Factory, my brother and I played No Mercy in Cheesecake Factory on my portable Nintendo 64 on my birthday a year ago. In 2 days from now, in a year ago. I'll try to show you a little video. I built this. It was basically a wooden box frame that I built, put the 64 in it. Here it is. And then basically it's a tray I carry around that has a monitor in it. And this is me building it. This is the wood.
Okay.
I cut the wood, and then I spray painted the wood. I'll skip through. Let me see here. Skipping. So then I built this. And then you can see there's a little thing where the monitor goes right up in that top part. And then here it is.
Oh, wow.
Dude, that's awesome. That's so cool that you put all this time into something like
Star
that.
Star Wars on it.
Because, too. So the Nintendo 64 I had years ago was made by, like, someone who actually, like, fabricates and, like, makes plastic. And so, yeah, there it is. So I basically just, you carry it around, you put it on your lap, you put it on a table, whatever. But it is portable, and the battery underneath is rechargeable. So I got that 9-inch monitor on Amazon. But the guy who made my original one, like, melted the plastic and did that whole thing. and I still don't have it anymore. And I wanted it. I was like, I don't want to wait and have someone else make me one. I was like, I'm just going to slap it together with wood. So that's the not as good one that I made myself.
Oh, that still rules though. That some of that shit's like ingenious to me.
I love all those hacker videos, like Ben Heck, I think his name is, and a bunch of other people. They'll like, there's a mod for a Dreamcast called the Stormtrooper, and it basically looks like a Stormtrooper helmet, and it's like this portable Dreamcast that you like. Was it a Dreamcast or a 64? I think it's Dreamcast, but like there's like really sleek, cool looking portable old system, retro systems now that people can make, and you can get the plans and like do it yourself. But like, I can't 3D print things, so I can spray paint wood. That's easy for me.
Dad, we appreciate you joining us here today. Let everybody know where they can find you at, and anything you want to plug, anything you got to say about AB, who you're going to bury here in a couple of months.
Well, you can find me if you search Dad on YouTube. I should be one of the first things that comes up. I search Dad or Nathan Dance, if you need another keyword that helps you find me. To AB, what do I say? I crave pain. I love the glove. I don't know. I'd want to eat your punches. I'm starving for pain. So bring it to me. Give it to me. I'll eat it all. I'm a buffet of pain. So try it as hard as you can. It will not do you any good. And a lot of people say the same things I'm saying. And it's just like I truly want him to try to hurt me. Like I need it and I love it and I want it. And the more he tries, the more you try, AB, the more it will lighten me up, and I will bring that much 10 times the pain you're bringing to me. So let's brawl. Let's throw down hard. I want to give everyone a show, and hopefully one of us gets knocked unconscious, because that's the only way to give people what they paid for, in my opinion.
Yes, Saturday.
I want everyone to be safe at the same time, but I do. I don't want the people setting up the event to know that I want to hurt someone super bad, but I want everyone to be safe, but I also really want to put on a good show.
Yes, right. That's going to be Saturday, April 15th, 2023, Creator Clash 2. I cannot wait, dude. As you said earlier, I'm not just saying this because you're on the show. I've said this on many platforms, many different podcasts. My favorite influencer boxing type event of any kind was Creator Clash 1. I watch it all just like you do, from the best pros down to the TikTokers who have never done it before. And I have really high expectations. Huge shout out to iDubbbz and Anissa for putting all this together. And I mean, I absolutely can't wait. If I could be there in Miami, I'd go. I don't think I can be there, but I'll absolutely be watching live. So
Tampa. It's in Tampa for anyone listening.
Oh, sorry. Tampa. I'm sorry.
Yeah, in Tampa. Yeah. So if anyone does want to go, get the tickets ASAP, because they will sell out. It sold out super fast last year. It seems like it's on its way to do that again. And if you are a wrestling fan, which I'm guessing most people listening or watching are, this I think is the best YouTube boxing event to watch, because it's most in line, in my opinion, with the characters and the trash talking and this, the fun and the pageantry. It's just so much closer to what pro wrestling is than any other event.
And the loyal fan bases, like you'll hear the crowd live, like they, like even if you tune into the show and you don't know who everybody on this card is, the people in attendance will be loud for these fights. So like,
yeah, they do good video packages too, which sort of sets up who everyone is. So if you don't know, it's kind of like, okay, now I get it. I know where this guy comes from and this girl comes from. Now I can like kind of get on board and pick my side. So. Yeah.
Guys, you can learn more about the event at The Creator Clash. There's a link in the description of this video. All the links to support Dad, to support Johnny Spotlight, are also below in the description of this video. You know, we appreciate you guys coming on today, giving us some time. Good luck on April 15th. We're rooting for the double knockouts. AB going down, Harley going down at the hands of Dad and Johnny Spotlight. And guys, we will be right back here on The Spotlight.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.